Divine Office. Office of Readings. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
How good is the God of Israel to the pure of heart.
How good is the God of Israel to the pure of heart.
How good God is to Israel, to those who are pure of heart. Yet my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was filled with envy of the proud when I saw how the wicked prosper.
For them there are no pains. Their bodies are sound and sleek. They have no share in men's sorrows. They are not stricken like others.
So they wear their pride like a necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. Their hearts overflow with malice. Their minds seethe with plots.
They scoff. They speak with malice. From on high they plan oppression. They have set their mouths in the heavens, and their tongues dictate to the earth.
So the people turn to follow them and drink in all their words. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High take any notice? Look at them. Such are the wicked, but untroubled they grow in wealth."
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
How good is the God of Israel to the pure of heart.
Their laughter will turn to weeping, their merriment to grief.
Their laughter will turn to weeping, their merriment to grief.
How useless to keep my heart pure and wash my hands in innocence, when I was stricken all day long, suffered punishment day after day.
Then I said, "If I should speak like that, I should abandon the faith of your people." I strove to fathom this problem, too hard for my mind to understand, until I pierced the mysteries of God and understood what becomes of the wicked.
How slippery the paths on which you set them. You make them slide to destruction. How suddenly they come to their ruin, wiped out, destroyed by terrors. Like a dream one wakes from, O Lord, when you wake, you dismiss them as phantoms.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Their laughter will turn to weeping, their merriment to grief.
Those who depart from you will perish. My joy is to remain with you, my God.
Those who depart from you will perish. My joy is to remain with you, my God.
And so when my heart grew embittered, and when I was cut to the quick, I was stupid and did not understand, no better than a beast in your sight.
Yet I was always in your presence. You were holding me by my right hand. You will guide me by your counsel, and so you will lead me to glory.
What else have I in heaven but you? Apart from you, I want nothing on earth. My body and my heart faint for joy. God is my possession forever.
All those who abandon you shall perish. You will destroy all those who are faithless. To be near God is my happiness. I have made the Lord God my refuge. I will tell of all your works at the gates of the city of Zion.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. It is good to be with you, Father. In you is fullness of life for your faithful people. In you all hope resides. May you lead us to everlasting happiness.
Those who depart from you will perish. My joy is to remain with you, my God.
You have shown me how to live.
You will fill me with joy in your presence.
From the book of the prophet Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel, whose name was Balthasar, "Can you tell me the dream that I had and its meaning?" In the king's presence, Daniel made this reply. The mystery about which the king has inquired, the wise men, enchanters, magicians, and astrologers could not explain to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what is to happen in days to come. This was the dream you saw as you lay in bed. To you in your bed there came thoughts about what should happen in the future, and he who reveals mysteries showed you what is to be. To me also this mystery has been revealed, not that I am wiser than any other living person, but in order that its meaning may be made known to the king, that you may understand the thoughts in your mind. In your vision, O king, you saw a statue, very large and exceedingly bright, terrifying in appearance as it stood before you. The head of the statue was pure gold. Its chest and arms were silver, its belly and thighs bronze, the legs iron, its feet partly iron and partly tile. While you looked at the statue, a stone which was hewn from a mountain without a hand being put to it struck its iron and tile feet, breaking them in pieces. The iron, tile, bronze, silver, and gold all crumbled at once, fine as the chaff on the threshing floor in summer, and the wind blew them away without leaving a trace. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. The interpretation we shall also give in the king's presence. You, O king, are the King of Kings. To you, the God of heaven has given dominion and strength, power and glory. Men, wild beasts, and birds of the air, wherever they may dwell, he has handed over to you, making you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom shall take your place, inferior to yours. Then a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the whole earth. Then there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. It shall break in pieces and subdue all these others, just as iron breaks in pieces and crushes everything else. The feet and toes you saw, partly of potter's tile and partly of iron, mean that it shall be a divided kingdom, but yet have some of the hardness of iron. As you saw the iron mixed with clay tile, and the toes partly iron and partly tile, the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. The iron mixed with clay tiles means that they shall seal their alliances by intermarriage, but they shall not stay united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the lifetime of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed or delivered up to another people. Rather, it shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and put an end to them, and it shall stand forever. That is the meaning of the stone you saw hewn from the mountain without a hand being put to it, which broke in pieces the tile, iron, bronze, silver, and gold. The great God has revealed to the king what shall be in the future. This is exactly what you dreamed, and its meaning is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell down and worshipped Daniel and ordered sacrifice and incense offered to him. To Daniel, the king said, "Truly your God is the God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. That is why you were able to reveal this mystery." The word of the Lord. The God of heaven shall establish a kingdom which will never be destroyed. It will overwhelm and absorb all the kingdoms of the earth.
And God's kingdom shall stand forever.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the keystone of the building. If this stone should fall on anyone, it will crush him.
And God's kingdom shall stand forever.
From a homily at the canonization of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini by Pope Pius XII. Inspired by the grace of God, we join the saints in honoring the Holy Virgin Francis Xavier Cabrini. She was a humble woman who became outstanding not because she was famous or rich or powerful, but because she lived a virtuous life. From the tender years of her youth, she kept her innocence as white as a lily and preserved it carefully with the thorns of penitence. As the years progressed, she was moved by a certain instinct and a supernatural zeal to dedicate her whole life to the service and greater glory of God. She welcomed delinquent youths into safe homes and taught them to live upright and holy lives. She consoled those who were in prison and recalled to them the hope of eternal life. She encouraged prisoners to reform themselves and to live honest lives. She comforted the sick and the infirm in the hospitals and diligently cared for them. She extended a friendly and helping hand, especially to immigrants, and offered them necessary shelter and relief, for having left their homeland behind, they were wandering about in a foreign land with no place to turn for help. Because of their condition, she saw that they were in danger of deserting the practice of Christian virtues and their Catholic faith. Where did she acquire all that strength and the inexhaustible energy by which she was able to perform so many good works and to surmount so many difficulties involving material things, travel, and men? Undoubtedly, she accomplished all this through the faith which was always so vibrant and alive in her heart, through the divine love which burned within her, and finally, through constant prayer by which she was so closely united with God, from whom she humbly asked and obtained whatever her human weakness could not obtain. In the face of the endless cares and anxieties of life, she never let anything turn her aside from striving and aiming to please God and to work for His glory, for which nothing, aided by God's grace, seemed too laborious or difficult or beyond human strength. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was homeless, and you took me in. Now I tell you this. When you did these things for the most neglected of my brothers, you did them for me. This is what I command. Love one another as I have loved you. Now I tell you this. When you did these things for the most neglected of my brothers, you did them for me.
Let us pray. God our Father, who called St. Francis Xavier Cabrini from Italy to serve the immigrants of America, by her example, teach us to have concern for the stranger, the sick, and all those in need. And by her prayers, help us to see Christ in all the men and women we meet. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.